We're at the end of a, Baruch Hashem, a full week of learning. And before we start the next inyan on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, I felt that we should learn this inyan today. It's a Shas inyan, and we'll try to finish up and pack in the yesodis of the inyan. The way you learn it here, it seems like it's just brought down one of the 24 avos of Reb Chiya. You take it simply. I will try to show you by asking you to go through the Gemara Gittin that they're very, very important. These three avos, the Reb Chiya counts among the 24, Metame, Medame, Menasech. These three mazikim have its own very deep Torah to understand exactly what it is. Let's first get the case simply. Metame is mean a man who takes somebody's food. Let's say a kohen has food and he's eating, he's about to eat it. Reuven goes ahead and he puts a dead sheretz on it. And as soon as the sheretz touches it, the food becomes tamei, and al pidin Torah, the kohen can't eat it. He has to sell it for half price to a Yisrael who could eat it. Or if it was kachim, he has to burn it. He makes it not worth as much money as it was before.
So can you just touch my sheretz?
Pardon?
Israel,
yeah, Israel could eat tame. Now, metame, that's metame. Medame means a man takes regular food, and he puts a little truma into it. As soon as you put a little truma into it, now only the kainim could eat it. Now, obviously, people pay less money for it because there's less of a demand for such food. So by him mixing in truma, he's causing a damage. So l'chara he's adam amazik, just like a man smashes somebody's window or a man spills out somebody's food into the garbage. He takes these food, either he makes it tamei or he mixes in truba or menasech. Menasech simply means a man takes somebody else's wine and pours it for avoy dezora. The wine is still there, it tastes the same, but it has a law, it has a din Torah on it that it's aser b'hano. This is the simplest way. The Gemara in Gittin, right after the Mishnah, which you did not learn the Gemara, has other ways to explain what happened. But I'm just giving you over the simplest way. That's the way Rashi learns over here. Okay. So if a man did one of these three things, Reb Chiya counts it as one of the avos. Just like if a man's shor does a damage, shor, bor, maven, hever, Reb Chiya added on. Odom amazik, if a man does it, so he has to pay. Finished. It's very simple. He damaged, the man himself did it. He did it by kavona, he has to pay. Where did Reb Chiya get these three from? Reb Chiya took it from the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin says, Metame, Medame, Menasech. It's not just three stam examples, it's a Mishnah. But over there, in the Gemara, we have a big machloikis. Why is he chayev? And the Gemara over here just brings it down agav. But over there you have Chizkiah, is one who is at Rav Yechanan, Machlekes Amoraim, why does the Mishnah say he's Chayim? So one man, the Yomer, says simply, very simple. You know why he's Chayim? Even though it's Hezik, She'ein Niker, that means when you look at the wine, or you look at the food, you do not see any damage. You only know, somebody, the witnesses who saw it, they know that according to Jewish law, it's worthless. But when a man looking at it, tasting it, it's the same food as it was before. So the man, the Yomer, says that you have to pay like, because he says like this, Hezik she'enoi niker shmei hezik. Even though you can't tell, but the law is that it's worthless. And if a man, he made, Reuven who did it, made it worthless. So therefore, it's regular Adam Hamazik. Okay? The other man, the Yomer, says a big kiddush. The other man, the Yomer, says, min ha-Torah, he does not have to pay a penny for what he did. Why? Because hezik she'enoi niker, since it's not noticeable, loy shmei hezik. That's not called damages. The Torah only said you break a window. Before it was one piece of glass. It kept out the cold. It was nice. And now it's smattered, shattered glass. But such a hezek, such a damage which is not nicker, min ha-Torah yapater, Either Mishnah says you have to pay, midir abonon, they made a kanas. Midir abonon, it's only midir abonon. So he says like this, because the Mishnah says, first of all, he holds logically. We're going to go through the logic of each one. We'd like to divide up the shiur into two halves. First, understand the first man the Omar, and then we'll try to understand the second man the Omar. Logically, we'd say the first man the Omar is chayiv. Good, I mean, of course, he lost money. It's a little harder to understand the second man the Omar. But since the way this, I'd like to say over the shiur is, let's first understand the man the Omar who says that you're chayiv to pay. Okay? Chayiv, like if, as if Shmei has it. The Chayiv, what's there to work about? The Chayiv, it's simple. But here you'll see some beautiful Torah from the Achrayim. Why does he say the Chayiv, why does he say you have to pay? The Chayiv, it's not nikkur. If you can't tell, let's take the example, the simplest example of Yayin Nesach. That's like the classical example. Right. You look at the wine. The wine is the exact same wine. The fact that it was poured out, right, with a kavana for avodah zarah, so the Torah says nobody's supposed to drink that wine. But the wine itself is 100% as good as wine as it was before. So the question is, what is the reason why he says you have to pay? So you could say, l'chayra, you'd say simply, he says like this. Because when the Torah makes a man pay for damages, he's paying for what he caused the loss to the owner. The main thing is, in damages, did the owner lose money or not? Even though the object is the same object, as long as the owner lost the usage, he lost the possibility to sell. You can't sell this wine anymore, nobody's going to buy it, because it's avodah zarah. There's a law. There's a law that the Torah says you're not allowed to use it anymore. So the man, the Yomar, who says Shmei has that you have to pay for it, his logic is, I'm saying, the simplest way to explain it is, because he says, you look at Hefsid Bailam. Hefsid Bailam. In other words, what does it mean? The Bailam lost the value of this object.
And not the.
So even though the object is 100% intact, but since the owner, who's a Shemir Torah Mitzvahs, can't get any pleasure, so he lost the money. So that man, the Yomar, says that you look at the owner. Other man, the Omar says, Hezek she'ein nikker loish mei Hezek. We'll just go over for a minute. He says no. He says like this, when the Torah says you pay for damaging somebody's object, that means you did something in the object itself. If really the object is the same, but the owner can't do anything with it, so the owner lost money, but the object you didn't damage the wine itself is perfect, good wine. The owner can't get to the money of the, can't get any benefit out of it. But that's like an indirect thing. So again, the simplest way to explain the machlokes between Shmei Hezek or Loi Shmei Hezek is it enough the fact that the owner has a money loss from this wine, the owner can no longer sell it, does the Torah make you pay for that or not? So the man, the owner, says, Shmei Hezek says, that's enough. Torah says, you've got to cover the loss you caused the owner. The other man, the owner, says, no. If you did not do a damage, if it's ein hezek she'ein a nikker, if the wine itself is the same wine, so it's not, you call it a shtickle, it's like a trick on the owner, the owner lost the money. But you didn't do an action of hezek to the wine. You hear? Bekitzer, I simply said over a one way to explain the reason why the man, the owner, says, Hezek she'ein a nikker, Shmei Hezek. But now I'm going to prove to you that even though it sounds very good and simple, right, because you caused the owner of damage and money, we're going to show you, if you went a little into the Gemara and Gittin, that Taisvis, the Gemara, and the way Taisvis explains the Gemara, it's not that way. In other words, the man, the Omar, who says, Hezek she'ein a nikker, like a man who Reuven spilled out Shimon's wine for avodah zarah. The man, the Omar, says he has to pay min haTorah. It's because Taisus explains like this. Taisus says that we look at it as if the wine itself got changed. When wine becomes poured out for avodah zarah, and the Torah HaKadosh says this wine gets a law that you can't sell it or drink it. So the law is not like a side law, like a policeman standing with a gun outside of the wine. A din Torah is on the wine, just like Kedusha. You put an animal, you put Kedusha in the animal. Tumah is in the animal. So we're going to show you, Tosfos proves that when you take wine and you make it usser, when the Torah says that now this wine can't be drinking, it's as if there's a poison in the wine. So that's why the Ma'ale Yomer says, Hezik she'enei nikur, shmei hezik, because even though the eye doesn't see the isser, but Hashem told us that there's something in the wine. What's the proof of Tosfos?
The other Ma'ale holds that there's nothing.
What the other Ma'ale Yomer, that I'm going to leave. Why the other Ma'ale? The other Ma'ale says either that's not enough or it doesn't go into the object. But I'm careful. That's what I told you. We're working now on to prove that the man, the Amru, says Shmei Hezek, that you do have to pay for the damages. It's not just simply because the owner lost the rights, the money value. He can't get nearer the wine anymore. It's because the wine itself changed. What's the proof of Tosfos? Tosfos over there said, because the Gemara says that if a man steals an object, the law is that if the object is the same object, he can give it right back. If the object changes while it's by the ganav, he keeps the object and he has to pay money. Now, the case was, a man stole, let's say, truma. A man stole truma, and then it became tameh. So now there's an isser in the object, or chametz, and then Pesach came. So the Gemara says, if you hold hezik she'enei nikur, shmei hezik, if you hold that when an isser is on an object, when a man puts an isser on an object, he has to pay for it like he damaged it. So it should come out that when an isser came on the truma, when it was by the ganav, when the truma became tameh by the ganav, if you hold shmei hezek, the ganav should have to keep the truma and or the chametz, whatever the case happened to be. Let's say it was chametz. He stole $100 worth of bagels. Then it comes Pesach. When it comes Pesach, the Torah says these bagels are worthless because you're not allowed to eat them anymore. So it should come out that now, the Gemara says, if you hold Shmei Hezek, the Ganef has to keep the bagels and pay money. So Tosfos explains, what do you mean? They're the same bagels. So Tosfos says, but if Shmei Hezek, so there's an Isser, it's like the bagels got crumpled. It's like the bagels got burned. Because Tosfos says, if you hold Hezek, she'enei nikur, Shmei Hezek, it's a shinui, there's a change in the object. So just like by the laws of Gezela, a Hezek, an Isser on an object, is no longer the same object for stealing. So I'm showing you, Tosfos learns, that when a man puts an Isser, by Yayin Nesach, he puts an Isser on the wine, it's changing the wine, and that's why he has to pay. Just because we don't see it, that doesn't mean it didn't change. According to the way the Hashkofa of Torah, is an object which gets an Isser on it, is a different object. So I showed you, we went for two steps in explaining the man, the Amar, who says that Hezek, Shein, and Nikur, you have to pay for it. First we started off saying simply because he's causing a money damage, a money loss to the owner. That was the simplest way to explain it. But we proved from Tosfos that it's even deeper. You have to pay because he actually changed the object. I can't remember. Because you see, by Gzela it's causing a change. The Isser, because you see that the Ganef would not be able to give it back and say, Arei Shelecho Lefanecha. So you see that the Isser is in the object and it changed. Now that we said this new way to understand the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan, who says, you have to pay for a hezek she'en a nikur. I just want to say two little points on this. First of all, according to this, you can have an interesting shaila. According to this, the reason why you have to pay when a man makes yayin nesach is because the isser that he created goes into the object. What would be if a man puts an isser derabbanon on an object? These cases that we're talking about in the Mishnah, in the Gemara and Gittin, the three cases, Metame, Medame, Menasech, are all Isurim and Haturim, which are very strong Isurim. Menasech by Avodah Zorah. Pasha is talking about my Prabhu deserve. Yainis of the rice. But what would be, for instance, if a man would go over to his friend's object, food, especially kashrus, and he put in something which is only treifus de rabbonim. In other words, min ha-Torah, it's still kosher. But the rabbonim said such a product is treifus. No, I care. Rabbi Ochanan Zatzal is a famous Yisoy for Rabbi Ochanan Zatzal. That an Issid, there are rice which Hashem Yisborach says something you're not allowed to use. That's like putting poison. That's like a poisonous object. But something which only the Rabbanon said you're not supposed to use.
Which is what?
I'll give you an example. Chais, Zachim, and Rabbanon, Orlov. I mean, Bizman Azeh, certain Yisurim, Shvi, you know, Yisurim. I mean, there's a lot of, you shouldn't be hard to find cases. Chais, Bosu B'chol, which are mixed in, but not cooked together. So Minatari, you're allowed to eat it. Midrabbanon, you're not allowed to eat it. Yeah, some Rabbanon said. So there's a beautiful Yisoy from Rabbi Chonah Zatzal. When the Rabbanon said that such a thing has an issur, the Rabbanon put an issur on something. The Rabbanon are like the policemen that say, don't go near it. But it's not like they look at the object like the object is poison. The Rabbanon say, for a geder, what?
In other words, you put the
for a hachotah, for a hachoka. So the chayr, it should come out like this. If a man goes over to his friend's object and causes it to be osur mid the Rabbanon, hezek shein and nikur. So according to the first guy, the first shot that we, the simplest explanation that we said you're paying because you're losing money, you cause. So what's the difference if he puts an issur d'oraisa on the object, or it's an issur d'rabbanan, right? L'maisa, now this fellow can't get any value out of it. But if you learn the second lumdus, that the reason why a man has to pay for causing a hezek shein and nikur is because he puts an issur, he's like putting poison into an object. Got it? Shmaria, you got the chilek? You're out for a minute also. You got to be very careful not to miss a step. We said the two basic reasons why you're paying. Remember, there's a machlokes, whether you're paying minat Torah or only it's only mid rabbanan. Our part of the shir now is according to those Rabbi Yochanan who said that minat Torah, a man who pours out somebody else's wine for avodah zarah, you pour just a drop, the whole bucket, the whole barrel is awesome. You have to pay, even though we look at the wine and we don't notice any difference. But we said the second, the deeper hesber is because when he poured out the wine l'avodah zarah, he caused that the Torah should put an isser on the whole barrel. So isser of a Torah is like poison. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. It's bad for the neshama, whatever the Torah says not to eat avodah zarah for. But it becomes a something. The object is like a different object. But what would be if a man would do something that only the Rabbanan said don't drink the barrel of wine? So remember, according to Torah law, it was still 100% good wine. The Rabbanan said, the Rabbanan don't want the Yid to drink it. And Rabbi Chanan Zatzal says that when the Rabbanan create an Isser, they say don't use a certain object. They don't have the power to say this object becomes poison. They can only say to the Yidin, we are the Rabbanan and we feel for whatever reason, don't drink it. But technically there's a big difference between poison or going into a store and a policeman standing there not letting you drink a bottle of soda. The soda is good soda, the policeman standing on the outside not letting you get near it. So it comes out like this, that you can have a shiloh according to this new hezber, and hezek, shein enik, shmei hezek, is it what would be by an issur d'rabbanan if a man takes somebody else's object, and let's say milk and meat he mixes together without cooking, to the Rabbanan, he caused that the Rabbanan should say, you got to throw out this milk and meat. But min ha-Torah, the milk and meat is 100% good. So will he have to pay for the making milk and meat? According to the first hezber, he'll have to pay because the owner is still losing the amount of money. Yeah, this is all in the Man Yom Shmei hezber. What would be, if you hold that that the reason why you normally pay is because you change the object, if you only made an issur d'rabbanan, is that called a different chayv?
So according to second
shot, is an issur d'rabbanan considered a different object?
So according to second shot, you're
it could be you'd be potter. Min haTorah could be you'd be potter. But since you only put an issur d'rabbanan, you didn't create a new object. You didn't put a poison into the object because it's only the rabbanan say don't go near it. But technically, it's you haven't changed the object. So according to the second hezber, you'll be put to the pain. That's
because we'll take the count of that after we have a change.
That's right. Now, Another interesting point.
So Rabban would be pater?
Maybe even Rabbanu will make him pay, but the child's whether Min HaTorah will have to pay. Maybe the Rabbanu will say pay anyway. We're saying, we're going now, the Man Yamu says, Shmei Hezek. Min HaTorah, according to the first Hezber, will be Chayim. Because Min HaTorah made him lose money. But once the Rabbanu said it, I hear you, Bort. I know what you're saying. But once the Rabbanu said it, that's called a Hezek Min HaTorah.
Would be Chayim.
Also the second Hezber. But also the first Hezber, he would be Chayim. No? We're going now all in Minat Torah. Wait, that's the second half of this year. This whole piece so far is explaining two drachim in why does Rabbi Yochanan hold Hezek she'enay nikr shmei Hezek. Why do you have to pay Minat Torah by a damage which you do not see? You don't see any physical damage in the wine. So we just finished saying two reasons why you have to pay anyway. One last point. Now, in this shita of Hezek She'enay Nikr Shmei Hezek, and we, according to the second explanation, why is Hezek She'enay Nikr Shmei Hezek? Why do you pay? Because you put an Isser into the object. On this, you could ask a Shaila, and you could have a new step. If this is true, that the logic behind paying for making a barrel into Yayin Nesek is because you change the object. So you can ask a question on this. Bechara, if that's the logic, so why should Middame, the case of Middame, be Chayev Min HaTorah? Remember, there are three cases. Metame, where he puts Tumah on an object. Menasech, where he pours the wine for Avodah Zorah. And Middame, where he takes regular food and he mixes in a little Truma. And because there's a little truma mixed in, the whole thing has to be sold at half price. So the question is, how could the Gemara? We're saying according to the Man D'Yomer Shmei Hezek, that Min HaTorah, if it was worth $100 before he mixed in the truma, and now it's only worth $50 because now there's some truma mixed in. So Min HaTorah, this man caused a $50 damage. That's what we're saying so far. The question is, when he mixes in truma into chulin, does he put a poison into the chulin itself? Does he change the chulin?
No.
He doesn't change, he doesn't put any new dinim into the kosher chulin food. The reason why it's worth $50 less is because there's a mixture, and we're not sure which is the truma food, which is the chulin food. But as far as what did he really do anything to the that to the he had a pound, let's say a pound of regular
so why isn't he
nuts. So the question is, why does the Gemara say that he'll be chayev min HaTorah?
Is it the wine or is it the wine?
What?
The
by the wine, he made it yayin nesach or he made tumah. He put a din. He changed it. He put a new law on the wine.
Come on here. What wine?
Which wine? What wine? What are you talking about? Madame Manasseh, he changed, how he deserved. He made the whole thing in this or no. But here, Be'etzim, it's just the taruvis, it's just the mixture of kosher and chulin and truma. So according to this, he didn't do a mazik. What? What? Oh, okay, so, but why can't you eat it? But if you look at the reason, no, because maybe you'll hit the truma, but the chulin itself didn't change. So the kasha is, if the lomdus of Hezek She'enay Nikr is because you put a new din on the... I hear what you're saying, but that's the second. So it's even worse, but... No, that's the issue. It's also for a Zor, it's like Chazer. For a Yisrael to eat Truma, it's like eating Chazer. You're not allowed, a Zor, Yisrael's not allowed to eat Truma, only a Kayin. So therefore, when you mix up 50, you mix up some chulin, a pound of chulin with a pound of truma. So the question is, l'chayra, here you're not changing the pound. You didn't change it into truma. It's just a mixture. And the reason why you can't eat the whole mixture is because you don't know which one. If you knew which one, if you could pick out this nut, if you knew for sure there were about a bunch of nuts, a pound of nuts of truma and a pound of nuts of chulin. If this particular nut, you remember this shape.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, because it didn't... Isser heter never. Let me ask something. A piece of kosher meat falls into a tray. I'll now solve it, but it doesn't change it. So if the whole lomdus, you got it, Yitzchak, if the whole lomdus is because you put a, you were mazik, you put an iser on the object. So the question is, by medame, where you're only mixing in iser with kosher, but the kosher technically doesn't change. So yes, you want to say, but as a mixture, right now you can't eat it because of that. You might be able to answer. I want to leave it with a kasha, just showing you how careful you have to be if you say a lumdus to be able to fit it into all the cases in the Gemara.
You made like a suffix.
All right, so that's Yossi's tiding. A suffix iser is also an iser. You put a new iser on it, suffix iser. Good. And some Achrayim learn that way. That's a good word. A suffix iser is also a new label. Since you're not sure whether it's kosher or treif, so that suffix itself, you change it from being vade kosher to suffix kosher. What? Oh, but the ma'aser, but it's kedai. If you chapt it to write it down also, that it could be, that's itself is a label. The fact that it's mixed up, regular food with truma food, is considered, you put a new label of suffix on. Okay, this is what we wanted to say, the first half of Hezek, the Mandiyamar, to explain, Mandiyamar says, min ha-Torah, this is considered a regular damage. When metame, and menasech, you have to pay regular, like other mamazik, because you caused the damage. Now let's spend some time, the other Mandiyamar, second half, whatever you got, good. If you didn't miss, if you missed something, don't worry about it. It's kedai, try to chazur it over, listen over. Now is the second half. The man the Yomar who says, min ha-Torah yopotter. So l'chara, that's very simple. In one way it's simple. You know why yopotter. So, yopotter, right? Why yopotter, that you have to understand. L'chara, we're talking about min ha-Torah now. We're not discussing why the knas. We're expressing why min ha-Torah yopotter. But we want to understand the logic. Why does this man the Yomar say, that min ha-Torah, you don't have to pay a penny. What do you mean? You took a whole barrel of wine worth $1,000, you poured it out for Avodah Zorah, and now the Torah doesn't let you, you got to spill out all the wine. You lost $1,000. Why does that Mandi Yomar say it's potter? So Pashit, he agrees. It would seem that he agrees that there's something, that there's a law of Isser in the object. There's a din in the object. But there's a big machlokes rishonim why he says he's potter. The simplest pshat is the Rambam. The Rambam, Perek Zayin, Echoyvel Umazik, says like this. If a man is mazik a hezik she'enu nikur, min ha-Torah he's potter. Why? The Rambam explains. Because He didn't hurt the physical aspect. He didn't hurt the physical thing. The wine itself tastes, it's not, it didn't spoil, it's the same wine. The Rambam learned, when the Rambam learned, explained this Gemara, we paskin that, like this man, the Yomar, the second one, that Hezek she'ein a nigger shmei Hezek, it's loy shmei Hezek, we paskin in Ateri Yepoter. So the Rambam says, because he didn't change the physical, he didn't hurt the physical aspect. No, the whole shiur was the other way. The other Mandi Yomar. We're explaining why is this now we're going to the second Mandi Yomar. Good, but they didn't say it yet. Wait, you're just making a diuk from it. So the Rambam says, like, it could be that even though true, the Torah put an Isser, the Torah put a law, a spiritual law, you can't do anything to the object. So this Mandi Yomar says that doesn't, it's not enough to make him pay because there's a spiritual law in the object. It's also not enough to make him pay because the owner lost any money. When the Torah says you got to pay for damages, it's only if there's a physical change and a physical damage in the object. I'm saying two things, physical change and physical damage. If it changes for the better, you certainly don't have to pay. It means a physical change, spoiling, making the wine spoil. That would be a physical change. Yeah. Or taking a piece of wood and smashing it, breaking a glass. Physical harm. That's what the Rambam says. This man the Yomar holds. That's
to it's any, not considered a physical.
Yeah, anything less than physical, you don't have to pay for it.
This is
the Rambam explanation. But there's a Tosfos, the Ponovitz Rosh Hashiva, Zolzangazun, Rav Shach, Shlita, has a beautiful piece of Torah on this Rambam. And he shows that Tosfos, in two places in Shas, Baba Basra Daf Beis, Amid Beis, and Baba Kama Amasechta Daf Kuf Amid Beis, that Tosfos argues on the Rambam. And Tosfos, very geschmack, because Tosfos proves, Tosfos says, that you do not have to have a physical change, a physical harm to make him pay. The problem with Hezek She'enei Nikir is, just like the Gemara says, literally, because it's not Nikir. Because we can't see the Isser in the object. But Tosfos and Baba Basra and Baba Kama says, second half, try to get it now, a new half. Tosfos says that the problem is it's a Hezek Shein and Nikir, because people, it's not visible, the problem of the Isser. But Tosfos proves that if there would be, a man would put an Isser on an object, and everybody walking by would know that there's an Isser on the object, he would have to pay. And the Rambam would say no. Just because everybody knows there's an Isser, that there's a spiritual law on the object's not enough. Well, it has to be a physical change. What's the case of Tosfos?
The same thing, not
yeah, right? Mamish, the same word.
Nobody knows
that's right. Because it's not Nikir. But if it would be Nikir, what? No, he's arguing on the Rambam. Wait, I'll give you the case. I'll shoot show you. The Rambam says you putter unless it's a physical mitziyasdika loss in the object. Physically, it's less, it's spoiled, it's broken. What? Both. I told you, a change for the worse. But Tosfos says, you don't have to have a physical change, even if it's a law, just an issue that the Torah puts on the object. As long as it's nicker, as long as if it would be recognizable by everybody that the Torah doesn't let you use an object, so you also have to pay.
Even though there's
no physical change.
And if it's nicker.
That's right. As long as it's nicker. And he says, the Gemara says, Hezek she'enei nicker, Moishmei Hezek. But as long as it's a Hezek nicker, even though it's not physical, even though it's only in lumbus and terror law, that's enough. The case of Tosfos is that a man is a farmer. He grows grapes on his property. Next door to him is another farmer. And he grows wheat. Right? And they put a big fence in between, so there's no problem of what is there? There's no problem of Klein. Now, what happened was, if you learn Baba Basra, good, Zabaki, good. So the Gemara comes along and says, what would be if the owner of the vineyard he built the fence around it, and the fence got corroded, a hurricane came and knocked over his fence. Now comes a beautiful rain and shine, and comes the season, and the grapes take off. They start spreading, and the roots of the vineyard cross over because there's no more gate anymore, and now they start mingling with the wheat. So there's a law of Klayim, mixing. You're not allowed to have interwoven two different grapes with wheat. And the law is that if a man does grow together grapes and wheat, you got to burn it. Called Klaya Karim, you have to burn it. You're not allowed to eat it because it's like a hybrid. You're not allowed to mix two different kinds of foods together. So the Gemara says like this. The Bezdin walks over to the fellow and warns him, listen, you better put that fence up because your grapes are going to start hurting, going to make the other fellow, your neighbor's wheat, treif. So they told him if he doesn't do anything about it, the law is that he has to pay for the loss of the wheat. Because he caused that now his vineyards underneath are beginning to expand and going to mix. So Tosfos says, Tosfos asks the Kasha, why should he have to pay? It's Hezek Shein and Nikir. The wheat tastes just as good. Oh, so Taisu says, because everybody sees, everybody walking by sees that that it's Klayim. So if it's Nicker, the Isser, everybody's Moedim. You have to pay. This I don't know. But I say that it was growing in such a way that you could tell. Usually they go together.
That's called Nicker.
So the Rav Shach Zayin Gezun proves from this Taisvus, not like the Rambam. Yeah, and Kuf Amid Beis, no same, but not Masug.
Yeah, but he just says
the Masug. You don't see anything, but Taisin Kuf Amid Beis. You hear Eli? Now you get it. Like the Rambam, it would still be Potter, right? Because the Rambam says you only have to pay if you cause a physical change, a physical damage. And this is not called a physical damage because the wheat tastes just as good. But like Taisvis, since it's nicker, since you could tell that it's an isser, so therefore that's enough to make it chayim. All right. You'll ask me. So what about by Yayin Nesech also? By Yayin Nesech, it's also nicker. Everybody sees him pouring. The terrace is maybe he's pouring to taste it. Maybe it's not so nicker. You can't say. If you don't even know he's a mummer, it's all a question. You don't know he's going to do Avodah Zarah. But that's right. You don't know what he's doing it for. But that's right. After second lady, you can't see. Very good. But here, anybody can see. So we have a big machlokes rishonim in the Ramban, and the Ramban is a suffix. The Ramban has a whole whether like the Rambam or like Tosfos, and he finishes off more like Tosfos. But the Rav Shach Zayin Gezun asks a beautiful kasha on the Rambam from a Gemara. This second piece. The shir, a lot of it is based on, I just developed it in my own words, but if you want to see there, I think I brought it here, if you want to see it. But let's finish off the shir with a beautiful kasha and try to give you a teretz from the Ktsois, a kasha and a teretz on the sheet of the Rambam. According to the Rambam, we're saying now, we're saying now that the Rambam holds that lahalocha we paskin hezik she'einu nikir. If a man damages such a damage which is not noticeable, you potter min haTorah, unless it's a physical damage, a physical change. Rambam, it just said it. Now, in fact, the point of his Rashiva, the Zayin Rav Shach, says the Rambam himself paskins that. By the laws of Geneva, again, showing again, we're going back a little. The laws of Geneva or Gzela, if a man steals something, listen, follow the law. If a man steals something, and he steals a coin, and this coin, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, it's Negea. What do they have? Let's say it was a shekel. A shekel is worth, let's say in American money, an example, $5. A man steals a shekel. Now, the law is that as long as the shekel is, and then we catch him, so as long as the money's there, he gives back the money. What happened was the government came out and the government said, now shekelim are not worth anything. They made a new picture with a new thing. Now we have a chay sloim. They came out with a new design. And they said, whoever has that is worthless. Now you got to go to the bank, and you got to use only sloim. For now, the stores only accept sloim. So all those shkolim are now worthless. They're not worth anything. That's called poslose malchus. The government decided, I mean, you get as much as the weight is concerned in copper or whatever, but as far as the whole value was, because it was a picture of Ben-Gurion, right? So they said, no, now Ben-Gurion's picture is worthless, now only Golda Meir. So it comes out, this Ganef has $500 worth of picture of coins, Shkolim with Ben Gurion's picture. They catch him. They say, "You cheverman, you stole 500." He says, "Okay, yes, here, take them all back." And no, we want $500 worth of what did I say?
Sloim.
You can't give me Shkolim now. It's not worth anything. He's a Lamdan. He said, "What do you mean? It's the same coins. It didn't change." So there are what? I don't remember exactly. Just take down the case. It's late. I don't want to keep you. This is Rav Shach in Aviezri, the Sefer on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, listen to the beautiful chap. The Rambam paskins that the Ganef is stuck. The Ganef, we don't listen to him. You know why? Because we tell him, everybody knows that now Ben Gurion's picture is worth nothing. So everybody knows that it's not worth anything. Oh, that's going to be the steer in the Rambam. Good. Because if, like Taisvis, it would be very good. Right? It's a Gemara, and that's how the way the Rambam passes. Plus, it's all complicated. I'm making it simple for you. But if you look at it, it's based on Lachlegis. I'm just giving you the main idea. You hear the Kasha? The Rambam himself passes that if a Ganesh steals something, he steals a coin, and then the coin becomes usur. It's like treif. The government says, now the coin is worthless. So even though the coin itself was the same coin, but since the government said that it's worthless, you can't do anything with it, so the Ganef can't give it back anymore. It's as if it changed. So Lachara, this is a right to Tais Vishita. Lai Tais Vishita, that Hezik chain and Nikir is only when nobody notices it, nobody recognizes it. But as long as everybody recognizes the law, it's as if the thing changed. So according to Tais, it's Gishmak. Since everybody knows that now the...
What's the second Rambam saying?
He's just saying that if a Ganesh steals a coin, the coin is out of circulation. Right. So the din is that the Ganesh cannot return it anymore. So that's a contradiction. Because by the laws of damages, the Rambam said, if a man does something where the object itself didn't change, the object itself, there was no physical damage, so it's like he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything unless there's a physical change. So according to this, we should say that the Ganesh should be able to give back the coins because there was no physical change. Like Taisvis. So the question is this the same coins or not? So like Taisvis, we could say since it's nicker to everybody, that it's worthless, so that's why the Ganesh can't give back the same coins. He has to pay cash value because everybody knows that these coins are worthless, just like by the field, everybody knows. But the Rambam who looks, the Rambam who says that it's not considered a damage just because everybody knows that it's worthless until there's a physical change, so the Ganef should be able to say, nothing physical changed about these coins, so I should be able to give it back. Because according to the Rambam's idea of what's considered a damage, unless it's a physical change in the object, there's no damage. So the Ganef should say also, like the Rambam, I should be able to give back because here, there was no physical change in the coins. So this Kasha, the Aviezri says, the Ktsois talks about. Ktsois has this problem in the Rambam, and the Ktsois, because you see, isn't it just like in the first half of the shir? If you remember, we proved that the laws of Gzela, remember, that if you hold, in the first half of the shir, we said, if something is considered a damage, if you hold Shmei Hezek, so then the Ganef can't return it anymore. So you see that the laws of changing for damaging is the same as the laws. If it's enough of a damage to pay for damaging, it's enough of a change that a Ganef can't return it. So here, it's exterior, because the Rambam says that it's not considered a change, unless there's a physical change. So how could the Rambam paskin by the laws of Gzela that the Ganef can no longer return it anymore even though there's no physical change? So the Ktsois answers this kasha, and the Ktsois builds it on a Rashba. Just so the Ktsois himself develops the Teretz based on a Rashba, and the Rashba says like this: that there's a difference. If just, in other words, like this, even though we paskin that by the laws of damages, it's not considered a physical change, it's not considered enough to make him pay unless there's a physical change, that's how we paskin. We free the person from payments, unless he actually destroyed, he actually changed the object. But when it comes to a gazlin, since a gazlin, he did an aver in the beginning, right? Really, he stole the object. There's a gazlin is worse than mazik, that's the chiddush of the Rashba. That the laws of gazlin, since he stole the object, and unless it's 100% like the way it was before, the gazlin has to pay money because he stole it. So the fact that this coin is out of circulation, it's like a half of a change. If you want to give you a little way to make it like this, It's a little change, but not big enough. For the laws of damages, since there's no physical change, it's not big enough to make him pay for a damage. But a gazlan is a chevraman. In certain ways, a gazlan is worse than a mazik, because he took the object out for his own pleasure. So a gazlan is harder than a mazik. That's the chiddush of the Rashba. That la halacha, even though there are impasse in the laws of damages, that it's not considered a damage, a maisa hezik, unless you physically change it. But as far as the laws of returning a stolen object are concerned, if the Rama will be moider, and if everybody notices that now these coins are out of circulation, so it comes out that he's not giving back the same identical object because now the fellow can't do anything with them anymore. Everybody's going to laugh at him. Hey, look, you got old coins that are out of date. So as far as the laws of returning, getting out of payment of gzeila concerned, it's that little change that now with the government put it out of circulation, it's enough change to make him that he has to pay money. So bekitzer, what would the terrors is that now the Rashba is saying la halacha, they're not dependent one on the other. Tais v'shita that we brought in the first half of this year, Tais was going, if you hold hezik shenik or shmei hezik, then they are dependent on each other. I don't want to confuse you. The first half of this year,